The World Cup starts this month. We'll look at the price tag, which is bigger than the national GDP of its host country. I'm David Brancaccia. First, you feel it yesterday afternoon, your credit cards getting somehow heavier. That was the Federal Reserve raising interest rates to try to stamp out inflation. And Fed Chair Jerome Powell sternly warned there's more to come. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer was at Powell's briefing and joins us now. Hey there.
Hey, David.
Stock indexes closed down yesterday, but toward the beginning of that briefing, I saw prices rose for a time. What was going on?
Yeah, in a statement after the meeting, the Fed said it realizes it takes some time for higher interest rates to affect the economy, appearing to indicate it was open to pausing the rate hikes to evaluate how they're working their way through the economy. But then Chair Powell made it clear that it's very premature to think about pausing.
And down went stocks. So did Powell give any sense of when the Fed might let up?
He said more moderate rate hikes are coming, maybe as soon as December. I asked Powell if there was still a path to a soft landing where the Fed raises rates just enough to cool off the economy without sending us into a recession.
I think to the extent rates have to go higher and stay higher for longer, it becomes harder to see the path. It's narrowed. I would say the path has narrowed over the course of the last year, really.
Powell also must be worried about overdoing it to the point of recession.
Yeah, he says the greater risk is backing off interest rate hikes too soon and letting inflation get entrenched, because then it's a lot harder to snuff out.
Yeah. Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington, thank you. Markets, S&P futures are down 0.4% this morning. The 10-year interest rate is up 4.2% now. The World Cup in Qatar opens in about 2.5 weeks to a projected audience of 5 billion people, according to the sports ruling body, FIFA. This month for our Econ Extra Credit series, we're watching the documentary film The Workers' Cup, which explores the lives of some of the millions of migrant workers who built the stadiums and other infrastructure that make the games possible. Human rights organizations are pushing a campaign to get more workers compensation for injuries and other abuses, including illegal recruitment fees many workers had to pay. And I've been writing about that. Today, though, let's talk return on investment. Amid estimates, Qatar, roughly the size of Connecticut, spent more than $200 billion on these games. Victor Matheson is a professor of economics at the College of the Holy Cross. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So Qatar, it's not going to make a formal profit, dollars in versus dollars out on this thing, will it?
It certainly won't make a formal profit. It won't make an informal one either. We're talking about costs in the hundreds of billions of dollars and benefits, at least in the short run, in the tens of billions at most.
You probably teach this to your students, right? I mean, there's dollars, but there's also something called goodwill that is worth something.
No, so that is. And hosts of big mega events like the Olympics and the World Cup, if you're putting any sort of significant money into infrastructure, like Qatar obviously is doing, there's just no way you can make that back on ticket sales, on media rights, on the amount of money you make from tourists coming to visit your country. So obviously you're hoping for some sort of long-run benefit, some sort of legacy, and often that is an improvement in your reputation, either as a tourist destination or as a world player in some ways.
And there's a ghost that haunts all these big tournaments, right? Montreal, 1976 Olympics.
Right. So they didn't end up paying off the last of their debts from that Olympics for about 30 years on the big stadium they built for that. They called it the Big O, in part because it was shaped like an O, in part because they owed money for it for 30 years.
But there's also the case in point of a later Olympics, 1984, Los Angeles. They used a lot of existing infrastructure and they ended up making a little money, not a lot, but a little.
Yeah, so the economics of the Los Angeles Olympics are fascinating. The reason they ended up making a bunch of money is because when it came time to look for bidders for the 1984 Olympics, they were the only bidder left. And lo and behold, when you don't gold plate everything and you don't build everything brand new, and you have a lot of infrastructure in place, it turns out you can actually run one of these things pretty well. The World Cup that's going to be in the United States in the next 4 years, that's going to likely be a profitable event because the United States is loaded with great sports and tourism infrastructure.
Back to Qatar, it hopes to generate something through goodwill. It'll seem like more of a global player, perhaps, after this, but there is a potential downside for its image. For instance, human rights groups have been focused on the conditions under which the migrants who came to Qatar to help build this infrastructure, the conditions under which they worked, and there are other human rights issues, those can also be in focus when the world's media is paying such close attention.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Of course, the whole hope here is that you want to focus the attention of the world on your city and or your country. And when you're a hidden gem, a place like Barcelona that has wonderful tourist options that really were not as well known back when they hosted the Summer Olympics in the 90s, then letting people know about your country is an unambiguously good thing. On the other hand, the more people learn about the fact that Qatar's a very conservative country, very oppressive in many ways, the labor rights issues related to immigration and the immigrants that built the stadiums and the rest of the infrastructure, here's a case where maybe knowing more about the country isn't helpful for that country's image.
Victor Matheson, professor of economics at the College of the Holy Cross, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
One documentary a month on Marketplace themes. You can follow along with our Econ Extra Credit newsletter. Sign up free at marketplace.org/newsletters. The Workers' Cup film follows an amateur soccer tournament set up for the workers in Qatar. It's a fascinating film. We also have a fun one coming up in December. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.